I'd like to share a little thought that's been on my heart. I'd like to start in Leviticus, the 6th chapter. In the first verse, Leviticus 6 and 1, it says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, If a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord, and lie unto his neighbor in that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor, or have found that which was lost, and lieth concerning it, and sweareth falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein. Then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest." We'll just stop there. I know we're not under the law, but I do believe that God expects us to be responsible for things that have been misrepresented. Here he mentions lying unto his neighbor. Deceitfully. That's kind of what I want to think about this morning and talk about. We do have a responsibility, I believe, to make those things right. And the definition of honest, it means free from fraud and deception. Something that's legitimate, truthful, genuine, real, creditable, marked by integrity, and sincere. In 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter, we have an occasion here of Saul. God called him to go do something for him. And I'd like to pick up in the 10th verse. So then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now, we can tell that from what the Lord told Samuel, that his heart had turned back from following and serving him. But then Saul began to cover up his tracks with not telling the truth. And I wouldn't say, you know, he did part of what the Lord told him to do. But I think deep down he knew the directions that God had told him and given to him. And I believe he knew deep down that he hadn't really done that. But that's what he told Samuel. He said, I performed. And so Samuel asked him, then what's, I hear sheep. What is this? They were supposed to destroy everything. And then he blames the people. And he was the one responsible. In verse 20 it said, And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, the sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. So the truth is starting to come out little by little. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And in verse 24, we have a full confession from Saul. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now here's the real truth. little children, they don't have to be very old. And you can see when they're trying to get out of trouble, you can see the wheels turning. You can see they're thinking about what they're going to say. And sometimes they'll veer off of... And some of the stories is... that they come up with is pretty, can be something else. But from a young child, but what I want to get here is that King Saul felt afraid. He was afraid of what the people would say, what the people would do. And it caused him a lot of trouble and a lot of problems. Sometimes there's going to be places where you and I are kind of put on the spot, you might say. And we may feel pressure, we may feel fearful, we may feel depending upon the circumstances, but there's going to be temptation to not be completely truthful. There's a temptation to say maybe part of the truth, and yet we're withholding maybe incriminating evidence that would incriminate us, you might say. So in Isaiah, the 28th chapter and the 15th verse, it brings out a little thought. Isaiah 28. And 15 it says, Because ye have said, We have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. You know, lies is kind of like a refuge. We're trying to maybe escape a consequence or escape what's coming our way or what people are thinking. It can be a refuge to people. And it says, under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Verse 17, it says, judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You know, the truth has a way of, it's kind of like one of those beach balls or a ball. You know, you can push it underwater and you let go of it, the thing is going to come up. You know, you try to push it down and then it gets loose. It comes up. That's the way truth is. It has a way of, it pops back up. It comes back up. So the best way to deal with it is to take the hard road and say, you know, if we're, sometimes it don't have to be very much pressure, and sometimes it is. You know, when Peter was following Jesus, and the maid asked him, he said, aren't you one of them? The pressure was on. And Peter said, I know not the man. Peter denied him three times. So there's a temptation. There's times of pressure. There's times of temptation. And if we fail, if we misrepresent something, or we say something that's half-truth and not full-truth, or something that's not right, I believe the Scriptures in Leviticus teach us that we've got a responsibility to, as far as we know and understand, is to clear it up, make it right. If we've discolored something, I've had to different times go back and say, hey, you know, that wasn't totally right. It's not easy to do that. But to keep a clear conscience, to keep a clean conscience, we must be willing to make our wrongs right. I want to get another deal that happened in Genesis, the 20th chapter. Genesis 20th chapter, and the first verse, it said, and Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country, and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Amalek, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Well, they had this little plan before. And this happened before in Egypt. Let's go on and read it. Verse 3, it says, but God came to Abimelech. See, Abimelech took Sarah's wife because Abraham told him, said, she's my sister. God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, Thou art but a dead man for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. He didn't know that. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she, even she herself said, he is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning, called all his servants, and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. Then Abimelech called Abraham and said unto him, what hast thou done unto us, and what have I offended thee, that thou hast brought on me and on my kingdom a great sin? Thou hast done deeds unto me that ought not to be done. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what sawest thou, that thou hast done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. Here's that fear again. And here's Abraham taking refuge in not being forthright. Verse 12, it says, and yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother, and she became my wife. So it wasn't a just an outright lie. But he didn't say half sister, and he didn't say she's my wife also. He just told him part of the truth because he was afraid. When we're afraid, there's going to be a temptation to hide ourselves with partial truths, untruths. In verse 14 it said, and Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah's wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes, and to all that are with thee, and with all other. Thus she was reproved. Now, I don't really know what all this is saying. But it's basically saying your husband is a covering, a protection. But he told her, he said, behold, I have given thy brother. Instead of saying husband, he said brother, because that's what she said earlier. And it said, thus she was reproved. Don't you think they felt pretty bad, Abraham and Sarah? I know they did. I know they felt an inward, sense of guilt and condemnation because they weren't forthright. They were afraid, and they just gave a partial part of the picture. They didn't tell the whole thing. But to be honest, the Lord wants us to be... Honesty is a very vital ingredient in the Christian life. If we can't maintain, and if we fail, if we're dishonest, we need to not just ride over and say it's okay, but we need to do what we can to make it right. And say, you know, I wasn't totally honest in this, and I want to make it right. That's how we maintain an honest heart, is making things right if we fail because of fear or because of some kind of pressure that we feel at the time. Lord, help us today to be honest. And I thought about the parable of the sower. It mentioned the different grounds that, you know, there was the ground that was hard and the seed, and then there was the ground that brought forth and it choked the seed. And he's talking about the conditions of man's heart. But on the good ground, it said the seed fell in an honest and good heart, and it brought forth fruit. We want to be honest with ourselves, with others, with God. There in Leviticus, it said when they're lying to your neighbor, it said you've sinned against God. It's not just against my neighbor, but it affects our relationship with God. And God wants us, and He said, in the day you bring that sacrifice, He said, you make it right with your neighbor. And I believe the New Testament brings some of that out also. Proverbs 20 and 14 gives us a little bit of a different scenario. Proverbs 20 and 14, it says, It is not, saith the buyer. But when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. What's that talking about? It is not, saith the buyer, but when he is gone his way, then he boasteth. You know, this is a financial transaction. It's when you're purchasing something. And you say, it's not. In other words, you're finding fault with what you're buying. You're saying, oh, it's got this problem, it's got that problem. You're just kind of running it down. It's not worth what you want for it. But then it says, when he's gone away, he boasted, he's saying, boy, I got a great deal. Boy, he's boasting. I got a great, great, spectacular, I made a good deal. Lord, help us. We've got to be careful. If we don't want to give it, you don't have to give it. But to run something down and then walk away and boast saying, I got a great deal, fantastic deal, I don't think that's right. Lord wants us to be honest in all of our dealings, our with man, and you know, when we stand before God, we want to be able to have an honest heart, and we want to be able to not have things in our conscience and our background, things that we've overrode and we didn't make right. My last scripture is in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter. Ecclesiastes 5. In verse 1 it says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. That's pretty good counsel. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. If we make a vow to the Lord, we want to be able to follow through and pay. And he said it's better not to vow than we should vow. So vows should be taken very, very, very seriously. He said it's better not to vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. So, Lord, help us today to be cautious with our words, to think about. Because, you know, these temptations can be so quick. They can come so quickly, and we don't realize sometimes. But we need to think about and be willing to speak the truth. One place it said, speak the truth and lie not. And we don't want to console ourselves with it being a half-truth and not all the truth. So Lord, help us today to watch our vows, our words, that they're true, that they're right. And I believe God will bless. It said, an honest and good heart. There's something about, and I don't know all the, there's something about deception that seems like it first starts in a person's own heart. It's not just something that comes from the outside and just totally deceives a person, but I believe there's something that can correspond on the inside. So Lord, help us today to love truth, to love uprightness of words, and to be honest, even at times when it hurts, to be able to be honest with God, honest with others, and honest with ourselves. And I believe if we are, and if we fail, Lord, help us to be able to make those situations right and correct them. He mentioned, Paul talked about having a conscience void of offense. And that's what we want to practice in our lives, to the things that we do, that it doesn't... that my conscience can live with it, in other words. And God will bless us if we follow that way and we live that way. Appreciate your attention this morning.